Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week's week 15 of the NFL scores, also NFL news. The Pro Bowl announcement was also this week, so we might have some probably some surprises and some couple of snubs, I think, and yeah, a little bit of news that's happened during the week and possibly
days.
scores. The Ravens getting over the Jets, 42-21. The Patriots getting over
that
the Bengals.
That shouldn't have even been that close.
Well, yeah, it's the same as this next game. Patriots-Bengals, 34-13. That was pretty close, considering the Bengals are 1-13. The Buccaneers getting over the Lions, 38-17. The Packers beating the Bears, 21-13. The Texans are just beating the Titans, 24-21, which is a good game. The Chiefs... yeah, blowing the Broncos, 23-3. Toilet Bowl, 36-20. The Giants getting over the Dolphins. the Eagles. Oh, two Toilet Bowls. The Eagles getting over the Redskins, 37-27. The Seahawks getting over the Panthers, 30-24. The Jags getting over the Raiders in their final home game in Oakland, 20-16. Arizona Cardinals beating the Browns, 38-24. Minnesota Vikings still playing well. I mean, they just beat the Chargers, 39-10. Cowboys finally learning how to win a game, 44-21 against the Rams.
And that shouldn't have even been that close.
That shouldn't have been that close, but yeah, good win. The Falcons getting over the 49ers, 29-22. We might start with that one. The Bills getting over the Steelers, 17-10, and the Monday night game, the Saints getting over the Colts, 34-7, with Drew Brees setting the NFL all-time touchdown mark.
Regular season, as a lot of people have started to point out to me. Regular season. Brady's got about 400 touchdown passes. I know, yeah, including playoffs, and it's just like, yeah, well, when you get a free ride to the playoffs every year, then of course he's going to have more touchdowns. Yeah, well, touchdowns, not just regular season, like regular season and playoffs.
I think we'll go to that game next, but yeah, I'm keen to start on that. Yeah, 49ers somehow losing to the Falcons.
All I'm calling it is the Superdome hangover. That's all I'm calling it, man. Like they didn't look terrific. You know, Jimmy G, yeah, did he use up all of, you know, all of his energy from last week and some of his energy for this week? They couldn't really get the run game established. Atlanta and the funny thing that I sort of, as I was sort of watching this game as well, listening to the commentators, the 49ers are the highest scoring team in the third quarter in the league, and the Falcons are the highest scoring team in the fourth quarter, and that ran true to form in this game. 49ers sort of put them out a little bit in that third quarter, and then I think the fourth quarter was, yeah, the fourth quarter, the Falcons outscored the Niners. Two touchdowns in 5 seconds to end the game. Like, did you think that there was any controversy or any way that Julio Jones did not break the plane? Because I've heard that, and it's just like, no, watching it live, he broke the plane, that's a touchdown.
I thought it was all pretty fair. It didn't seem, yeah. I was happy with it. I was happy with the touchdowns to what I've seen.
Just defensively, when it mattered, the Niners had some lapses, and that'll happen throughout the game. But it was just a crazy, crazy finish. Like, just, yeah. Incompletion to Austin Hooper as well, which I thought could have went either way. Like the play before Julio Jones got the touchdown, there was an incomplete pass in the end zone where Austin Hooper sort of had it, miscarried it, got it down around his feet, and then it sort of Yeah, and then it sort of bobbled out a little bit, and it's just like, oh, okay, that's an incomplete pass. But when he first caught it, I thought he had it, and then he ended up sort of having it between his legs. So I don't know. I thought that could have went either way, and that could have been the touchdown that sort of that sealed the game. But it was just, yeah, that was just a little bit of a bizarre, last 2 minutes.
2 minutes, yeah. I kind of thought Richard Sherman coming out, I think it was last week's game before this one, coming out and talking up, we've got the best defense, in the NFL, and then this is what happens when someone comes out and says something.
Oh,
But, well, it does. This is what happens.
But he can't really say much either when the game before was 48-46.
No, so, he can't, but no, he did.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, so and we all know the sort of the firepower that the Saints have got, and they put on them last week. But Atlanta hasn't been that terrible over the last 3 weeks or a month. Whether that's one of those games where they sort of maybe overlook them a little bit. No Calvin Ridley as well. So it was just one of those games, man. Just football.
That they still clinched a playoff berth, the 49ers, but interestingly enough, even though their differential is better over the Seahawks, they're running second
the Seahawks have got the tiebreaker that Monday night game that they had. So the Seahawks have the tiebreaker, so they are they're the number one seed. Well, there's four teams out of those six in the NFC that are on 11-3 at the moment.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. We were all I was hyping up the 49ers in the last month, and I think they brought down to earth just a little. But while they'll make the playoffs, they have made the playoffs. Yeah, they just need to pick their game up. It's pretty simple. Like something's changed with them in the last month, because they're not looking like they're not looking as good as they did, as good as they beat the Saints. They're not looking as good as everyone thought they were coming into sort of these last few games.
Well, when you play so well at the start of the season, like, it's hard to maintain the rage and keep that up. All you got to do is have a look at the Saints last year. The Saints just tore through the first 12, 13 weeks and then sort of spluttered a little bit coming into the playoffs, and then obviously getting knocked out in the NFC Championship game. But that's what happens when you start the season off red hot. It's hard to maintain that, and you've just got to fight through those ebbs and flows of a season. They've got a few injuries. They obviously mound up as well, and I just think a little bit of a Superdome hangover from the week before, and a bit of an oversight. The Falcons are coming in there. What were they, 5-9? And I think they just they've underestimated them and overlooked them.
We'll go now back to that Monday night game with the Saints beating the Colts, which was a lot that. It's not so much that was pretty sort of – they were never going to lose, I thought, the Saints anyway.
I think that was expected.
Coming into the game. Just the near-perfect game that Drew Brees had. 29 out of 30.
29 out of 30.
30 attempts for 307 yards and 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. So he's unbelievable. Just watching him. It's funny, just watching. I think I've watched the Saints more this year than any other year. But just watching how quickly he can get his side up the field is ridiculous.
It's crazy. It's field vision. It's accuracy. It's having the right kind of players that know him as well. Like, he hasn't really got a lot of new receivers in this core at the moment. Like, the guys that are there have been there for a little while. So, there's a little bit of team chemistry. But he's just able to put the ball in the spot most of the time, or a lot of the time, where only the receiver can get it. And when you've got a receiver like Michael Thomas as well.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
That makes his job so much easier.
Yeah, when you've got someone like Michael Thomas, that makes his job a hell of a lot easier.
Lazy 12 catches for 128 yards and a touchdown. It's
not even that I'm noticing. And, it's the Drew Brees to Michael Thomas, but it's the it's his offensive line that he has in front of him. It's the time he gets to
that's the thing too. They block unbelievably for him.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a little bit of a detriment to the Patriots at the moment because they've got a few injuries on that offensive line and they're just not giving him the time to be able to do what, Tom Brady does. And he's essentially the same. Like he can put his receivers in a spot where only they can get the ball. And that secondary just has no chance with it. But because Breeze is still getting the time that he needs in the pocket and they can still both sling it out fairly quickly. I think that's the secret to success too, is to be able to get the ball out quickly. If you've got nice fast receivers and good route runners, then you can find those receivers, in under 2 seconds. Where I think some of the criticism has come around, especially this year, for Baker Mayfield, is he just holds on to the ball too long. There's bits and pieces there where it's, and it's only half a second, but half a second is all that you need. Is the difference between being able to get the ball out cleanly rather than getting the ball out, without being tipped or without you being under pressure. It's all very quick in there.
The Cowboys game against the Rams, the 44-21, did you get to catch any of that game?
I did catch most of that. That was just an absolute pummeling.
It was a run fest.
They just beat. Well, for me, it's a total form reversal. Cowboys haven't been looking that great the last 3 to 4 weeks. The Rams have been looking really good. They just flipped the script. And the Rams look just, man, they looked terrible. Goff had a late first half pick. To Sean Lee. He ran it back really well. Sean Lee had a monster game.
Mm-hmm.
He had an absolute monster. And then, after Goff throws that late first half pick, it essentially leads straight up to a Dallas touchdown. I'm pretty sure their last four possessions of that half running into halftime, they scored touchdowns on them all.
Yeah, that's right. And they were all rushing touchdowns, which is great. I'm not going to sort of praise him yet, but Kai Forbath, the kicker now, because they've got rid of Bet Maher. At least he's kicked 100%. That's always a good start. I guess one thing that impressed me is it seemed like I don't know if they were going in with a game plan of rushing. If they didn't,
that should be the game
probably
plan every week.
Well, it should be when you've got Zeke Elliott. But, Tony Pollard had a great game, 12 carries for 131
yards. Yeah, that's right.
But if he didn't come in with that, then it's definitely full credit to Jason Garrett for actually, doing something and not sticking to the script and then trying something different. Because clearly when you try something different, it works.
Yeah. But the time that they actually had possession as well, once again, the only criticism I'll sort of take or give out of that game is once again their number one receiver, Amari Cooper, two targets, one reception. Like, that can't happen. Like, I get it, it was a beat down and yes, it was a run fest, but he can't have two targets in the whole game.
He did look like he had a lot of double coverage on him when I was sort of watching him, but regardless of the points.
I still don't like that. There's got to be ways to be able to force him to get open. If they're going to continually double coverage, okay, fair enough. And I'd say he would have been tailed by Jalen Ramsey a fair bit. And that's fair enough. But there's ways that you can scheme people up. You don't think that teams double team Michael Thomas.
Of course.
You don't think there's teams that don't exactly double team right. Jarvis Landry, Julio yeah. Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, like that they would get that all of the time. But if they've got an innovative coach, then you might be able to free them up a little bit. But it's just there was what game was it a couple of weeks ago? We had no receptions. Like that can't happen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Because they, with Amari Cooper, even Michael Gallup's played well this year. Yeah.
That's right. As your wide receiver too, that's he's had a great season, and you've almost forgotten about Randall Cobb as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to go over the full poll games, but I was surprised the Texans beating the Titans. I thought, especially with Titans being at home, with the run that the Titans have been on, 24-21, the Texans sort of just beating them. I was surprised for the fact that it didn't look like, Ryan Tannehill's had such a great second half of the season, and it just brought back like a little bit back to earth in that game.
A little bit, yeah.
So...
But they did. They did a really good job. The Texans in the run game themselves, and for the tear that Derrick Henry's been on lately, you could say that they sort of shut him down a little bit. That they stopped him a little bit. He had 21 rushes, but he only had 86 yards. So they did well in stopping him. Carlos Hyde for the Texans had a good running game. He had 26 rushes for 104 and a touchdown. But it just the Texans just corrected that little blip on the radar that they had after last week's sort of shock loss to the Broncos. But it come down, and I watched the last of that, because the last bit of that game, because it was a fun game to sort of watch, but they just had it was such a poor choice for the Titans themselves to try. There was 26 seconds to go. They had no timeouts, and they tried to run off a punt. And it was just such a bizarre ending. It's just like, well, hang on a minute. Like, you're only down three. Like, I think they didn't need much to get into field goal range. And they sort of stuffed it up a little bit. What I mean is, after the Texans had scored, they should have just taken the touchback to give as much time to Tannehill as possible. But it was the punt was nearly inside the 10-yard line, but the punt returner decides to run it, and they burn a few seconds off the clock. They didn't have any timeouts, and it's just like, no, just take the touchback. You go back to the 25-yard line and give Tannehill as much time as possible. You put him another 15 yards behind the eight ball. Like, it was such. I get, especially players on special teams, and they don't get on all that often, and they feel the need that they have to try and make a big play to try and help out. But that was such a poor choice off the kickoff.
Yeah.
To try and return the ball. Like, well, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, you're just running time off the clock. Like, there was only 26 seconds left, and they had no timeouts. Like, take the touchback, give Tannehill. Yeah, I mean, 26 seconds, you can get away some quick passes.
You can get two or three passes.
I just thought, I can't think of who the punt returner's name off the top of my head, but I just think he sort of felt like that. Yeah, I need to try and make a big play here, but he burnt like 7 seconds off the clock, and they were going sideways. It was like no, that's not good. Just surrender and eat the ball. It was just a strange ending, and it's just like you just didn't give your team any chance then. I think there was only 15 seconds left on the clock by then, and so you only given Tannehill, I don't know, two, maybe three. Even if they complete one and they don't get out of bounds, then you've got to run up to the line of scrimmage and spike the ball. It just didn't work.
It was that LeSean Sims, and I don't think he should have just taken a touchback, because I think he got to the 28 or 29 yard line, so he really only made 4 yards on top of that run anyway. So, you know, it was a waste, like you said, of good of precious seconds.
That's all. That's right. It was poor. Just there's got to be a little bit more game awareness there. Whether that's special teams coach sort of going out there and just saying, whatever you do, just take the touchback. Unless it's a really short kickoff, which wasn't going to happen, then just save as much time as possible. The clock doesn't run on the kickoff until somebody touches the ball as a fair catch or a touchback, and they look like they're going to run the ball. Then the clock starts. So it's just, it was a poor ending and to an otherwise sort of, entertaining game, I thought.
That was the main games I wanted to touch on. Was there any you wanted to sort of look at?
Well, I sort of wanted to just sort of touch on the last game at the Oakland Coliseum a little bit. It looked like sort of the Raiders had that game fairly well in hand, and it was, it wasn't the greatest or highest scoring games. I think it was 16-13 going into the fourth quarter, and Jacksonville basically just come in and sort of spoiled the party there for John Gruden and the Raiders a little bit. And it's essentially happened in the last minute. Like, it was a Chris Conley catch 30 seconds to go.
Yeah.
Off Gardner Minshew, and that shot him. So it just, it's a bit of a sad ending to, the second stint of the Raiders in Oakland. I get the disappointment of the fans and everything, but that's a bit of a heartbreaker to have your last game at the Oakland Coliseum there in Oakland end like that.
I mean, one good thing out of the Oakland season this season was, they found their long-term running back in Josh Jacobs. He was out too,
and he looks like he's out this week as well with that shoulder injury. So
he played that game.
He is out this week. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they know now that the playoffs
are dusted, so they're like, okay, he's their long term future. So I'm sure he wants to play. This is his first season, but I think if he's got that little niggling shoulder injury, then it might be time to sort of rest him and then maybe even play him in the last game of the season. But like you said, he's the future at their running back position. So they probably should protect him a little bit.
Wonder who's going to be their future quarterback. That'll be the thing.
Well, they're not really going to have the highest of draft picks either. No. So wouldn't think they'd get any of those, game changing ones that they're talking about out of this draft, whether it's Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, or Tua Tagovailoa or anyone like that. Like, they would have to be. Yeah, they'd have to find themselves a bit of a gem in the later rounds if they're going to do that.
I just feel like, Derek Carr will go to Las Vegas. I just, when new teams go to new places and they want to have start with a bang kind of thing. I think more of a trade, not really more of a pickup in the draft. They'll if they find someone. I don't know who and I don't know how, but.
Yeah, who's going to trade for Derek Carr?
Well, I mean, the only one that could go there that would stand out would be Cam Newton. But you're right. Who's going to actually? They'd have to throw in a few picks if they traded Derek Carr for Cam Newton. I think Oakland would have to throw in a few picks.
I don't think salaries would match up either.
That could be
an interesting, like you said, start off your tenure in Las Vegas with a bang and have somebody like Cam Newton who's going to have a very long off season, get himself right, get the body healthy, and that's definitely a possibility. I actually don't mind that.
Any more sort of games before we move on to some news?
Like you said, one of the first scores that come up was the Pats and Cincinnati.
Mm.
they said that that should have been a rout, but you know, nothing cures the ails of a struggling offense than playing Cincinnati. So you know, they got it going late. You know, did their nice little happy filming session help them out in any way?
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did. With Andy Dalton throwing four interceptions.
My God,
just good Lord. You know, he helps. Yeah, they bring Dalton back. He doesn't go. This is his third game back. He doesn't go well the first time. He gets them their first win, and then this week he poops the bed again. Like it's just, all I could say is just wow. And the only reason I sort of wanted to touch on it as well is, you know, is they got a little bit of help offensively with their run game, which has been severely lacking the last little while there with the Patriots. Sony Michel had 89 yards on 19 carries. So that's a welcome change for the Patriots and not having to rely on Brady that much. Like Brady only had 15 completions. So they had a good defensive touchdown as well. You know, Stephon Gilmore had a nice pick six, so that sort of that helped them out as well. So you know, defensively they're playing a little bit better as well because they've sort of come back to where, like, you know, that their defense was just otherworldly. You know, all the way up until the last couple of weeks, and they haven't been that terrific. So to see their see them defensive. Well, I think the Bengals were up 10-7 early in the game. So I think that's it's early in the game, but for them to get a little bit of help in the run game, you know, sort of a run heavy game all around. You know, Joe Mixon had 25 carries and 136 yards. So you know, sort of a bit of a run fest in that whole game, really.
Speaking of the Patriots, with them, there's a lot of, especially next week, there's a lot of divisional games. They got the Bills next week, so that'll be a great game. I'd say that'll probably determine who's going to clinch that division, because no one's actually clinched that division as yet. And there's, a few big divisional games. The Cowboys have got the Eagles as well. That's another...
That's a big one as well. Like that could determine the NFC East winner.
Mm. Yeah, and the other big game, divisional game, it's not a divisional game, but the Dolphins and Bengals.
Oh baby,
should be a big game.
Oh, wow, please, can we get that on TV? That will be a fantastic game.
Oh, Fitzmagic,
Fitzmagic will be slinging it all over the place. He might blow 400 yards. just a little bit. Oh yeah, a little bit. Oh, not so much off topic, but Fitz. Yeah, just a little. Yeah, once again, random stat. Fitzpatrick is the leading rusher on the Miami Dolphins team. Not last week, for the season.
I feel like
37-year-old Fitzmagic is leading the Dolphins in rushing yards this year. Like that is just. Yeah, when I heard that, it's just like, this week? And it's like, no, this season.
That'll change after this week, surely. But who knows?
He might run. He could be Hulkamania running wild. You don't know.
The other big game next week was the Monday night game. Thankfully, it's a good game, the Packers and the Vikings. That'll be really good.
Yeah, that'll go a long way to sort of determining the winner of that division as well. Like, you know, the Vikings have looked good. If they can knock it, I think it's in Minnesota as well. You know, if they can knock off the Packers, then yeah, that'll sort of that might blow that division wide open. Obviously, the Bears and the Lions aren't going to be doing a whole lot. The Bears have left their good form a little bit too little too late. They weren't actually bad against the Packers this week. Yeah, the Packers done enough to beat the Bears. Like, you know, Trubisky was 53 attempts though, like throwing. I still don't think that's not the right recipe for success. You know, he had nearly 350 yards. Like, he had 348 yards, but the Bears themselves had like nearly 10 more minutes of time in possession than the Packers did. The Packers were just extremely efficient with what they did, how they scored, You know, Devontae Adams, 7 catches, 103 yards. That's what I mean. Rodgers was only 16 for 33. But, you know, what they did, you know, with their time and possession, they scored, and, you know, they did what they needed to do to sort of get over a bit of a plucky Bears team at this time of the year who aren't an easy out at the moment. They had the Bears had 200 yard receivers in the game.
Wow. Yeah,
Robinson and Miller both had over 100 yards. Robinson had 125 yards and Miller had 118 yards. So they were getting the job done. It was just that they just couldn't get the job done in the red zone.
So moving on to some news, I guess we'll probably start with the Pro Bowl announcements for 2020 Pro Bowl next year. I mean, most of it was fairly straightforward. The Ravens getting the most sort of picks with 12 players.
I was going to say, I think they had about 35 players selected. So,
your boys, the Saints, on the NFC side, they got 7 selected. Most of it was pretty straightforward, but I thought that, you know, there was a couple of not so much surprises, but there was a couple of, I thought, sort of snubs that should have made it in. Firstly, Chris Carson should have been there as a running back.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. NFC running back, like, for sure, Chris Carson should have been there.
Because they picked Mark. Yeah, I think my was it Mark Ingram? I think they pick.
He's
an AFC. Who did they put in instead of him? You've got Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, and Ezekiel Elliott. So, although Dalvin Cook looks like he might be injured, but.
He went off in that third quarter of the Chargers game. That didn't look terrific. I think it was a shoulder injury. So it'd be interesting for his status this week for that Monday night game. He sort of gets that extra day to rest up a little bit. But yeah, he's a little bit of the fuel that's powering the Vikings at the moment. So if he's not there, then that could. Yeah, that puts a little bit more pressure on Kirk Cousins.
I thought, speaking of Kirk Cousins, I thought he, possibly deserved to be there in the Pro Bowl, especially the way he's played this season. Because
there's been some good NFC quarterbacks this year. To try and squeeze them into three is a little bit difficult, I think.
I thought Darren Waller was another one, the tight end for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
I thought he could have squeezed in there over Mark Andrews. Although Lamar Jackson, you know, loves throwing to Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce's going nowhere. But you know, I thought he could have squeezed in there in the second spot. There's no way he's not getting
bumped.
I mean, again, most of them. No one sort of really shocked me. That they were the ones. I mean, I can say Dak Prescott. Like
I think Dak Prescott not being there, I thought was a bit rough. Like he has had a spectacular season, really, mm-hmm. statistically. And Aaron Rodgers is one of them, isn't he? Whereas the team themselves, the Cowboys, haven't been playing as good as what. As what the Packers have.
No.
But Dak Prescott, I think, has clearly played better than what Aaron Rodgers has this year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're not going to displace Drew Brees or Russell Wilson, obviously. But, yeah, I didn't think Aaron Rodgers played well enough to get that third position. Not this year. I mean, the Packers missed
Brees missed games this year as well. So, you know, that he didn't deserve to be there anyway, but you know, since coming back, he has been very good, and obviously Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate, so you know he would have been the first choice of quarterback in the NFC, I think.
Is there any sort of ones that suited you, or any surprises or snubs for you? Is all fairly straightforward?
I think that Prescott probably out of the ordinary one, especially with who they well, who I think would have been the lesser of the three quarterbacks that they put in. You could even make a case for Kirk Cousins has played better than Aaron Rodgers. So, I think it's there for namesake, I think.
Well, if you go through the names, there's a lot of, Philadelphia Eagles haven't been playing great this year, but, Zach Ertz made the tight end three. That's just name. I'm not saying that he's not a bad player by any means, but, there is a lot of names that are just in there, I guess, for the sake of just those names being in there, if you know what I mean.
He hasn't had the greatest of seasons either, reception-wise, especially coming off last year. Being the leading target man and reception catcher for the Eagles last year. They should be funneling more towards him because the Eagles at the moment are just decimated at wide receiver. And he's healthy, so they should be getting the ball to him a lot more. Obviously, George Kittle was going to be the number one tight end that got in there, but Austin Hooper as well has had a pretty good season as well. I think he's missed a couple of games, but he's been playing great the last couple of years, Austin Hooper.
Yeah, and he's coming, and he's actually, just speaking of Austin Hooper, he's coming into contract season too. So, what a great time to be playing well. But you're right, George Kittle, probably doesn't need to be displaced. But I thought Zach Ertz was just a little bit of a surprise, and even on the Cowboys, speaking of namesake, Zach Martin's been playing okay, but Travis Fredericks, he hasn't been there. He hasn't played a lot of games this year, and he was named number two center. But I don't know. I do. That was, to me, it was a little bit of a namesake thing.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of times they could sort of get stale, but you know what I mean. Whoever selects the Pro Bowl. I think a lot of that's fans and that as well. So, NBA All-Star game. The popular players and whether or not they're playing that well this season, I bet you that Steph Curry is going to be nowhere near, going to be anywhere near sort of All-Star form, but he's probably going to be right up there in the West votes for the NBA. Do you know what I mean? It's popularity as well. So, I think that helped Aaron Rodgers get in just quietly.
Speaking of name popularity, before we move on to some other news, that was after that selection, that was the first time in 10 years that Mr. Tom Brady has been snubbed for the Pro Bowl. So,
he totally 100% doesn't deserve to be there, does he?
He doesn't deserve to be there, but I'm just saying on namesake alone,
could you imagine the uproar if he had got in one of those AFC quarterback spots? Like, there would just be, the only people who'd be cheering are in that New England area, of Boston. Like, that's it. Everybody else would be pissed.
Oh, there's no way he deserved to be there, but I just found that was his first miss in 10 years. But 10 years, you've only got these three quarterbacks: Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson.
You're just not getting in. Like, it's just not happening.
That is a ridiculously I feel like one of those three are going to be in the Super Bowl, but those three quarterbacks is just, that's ridiculous. Like, if I come back to the NFC, there's no way the way the NFC's beat the AFC in terms of the quarterback.
No, that's right. Yeah, exactly. That's right. In quarterback play, and we all know there's no defense played in the Pro Bowl anyway. So it's just.
I thought last year in particular, I felt there was last year I thought there was more defense played. It was a pretty low score. It was 17-7, if I remember, or 27-7 to the AFC. It didn't seem as like the NBA, where the points can end up being 150 to 140 or 180.
This year's All-Star game, they're going to get to 200.
That's true.
Right, write that down. Book it right now. Book it right now. With the offensive explosion that's happening in the NBA right now, and we probably should talk about that for the NBA pod next week. They'll get to 200. If it's not this year, it'll be next year.
Any other NFL sort of news that's sort of there for you? Before we move on to some studs?
I thought the Chiefs pickup of Terrell Suggs was a great little pickup off the waivers.
Yeah.
There was sort of a little bit of talk around that he was only once he got released from the Cardinals, and how much of a dent to the confidence must that be if you're getting released by the Cardinals? But there was talks going around that he wasn't going to participate in any team's activities unless the team was called the Baltimore Ravens. But apparently the Chiefs are one of the teams that called him, and he sort of said it was basically a no-brainer.
It was, not a bad consolation.
That's not a bad consolation prize. Yeah, that quite possibly could be, you know, an AFC Championship game, you know, Baltimore and Kansas City. So I thought that was a nice little pickup for a late season. Late season charge. The Chiefs defensively haven't leaked as many points and leaked as many run yards as what they have previously throughout the season. They've gotten a little bit tighter. So for them to get Suggs, and even though he's 57 years old, it's a good addition.
It's a good locker room addition, Terrell Suggs stands out on any team because he likes being on the TV a lot. He was on. I mean, if you go to the NFL TV show Ballers with Dwayne the Rock Johnson, he was like in nearly every season. Terrell Suggs, he was a mainstay in that show. It was ridiculous.
Who's in the Rock Johnson? Who's that guy? I never
heard. I don't know.
Did he play college football?
I think he's an old NFL, an old college player. Yeah. I think he could have cut it in the NFL. That's what I got to tell.
He could. He couldn't cut it at the U either.
Cut it at the U. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I think he's doing alright for himself, isn't he?
I've only heard it in a couple of movies, but you know.
Good luck
to the kid.
Good luck to that kid. You know, you go get those action movies, big boy. You go for it.
We'll have to do another NFL. Do a WWE pod. That would be good. You're right. Terrell Suggs was you're right. It is sort of surprised me that he wasn't going by the Arizona Cardinals.
It was a mutual parting. So, which still sucks. Like, you know, there must have been discussions about it. Whether they thought that this isn't working, or you know, we want to put you in the best situation that you possibly can. So if we put you on waivers, then hopefully a team that's got a little bit better record and is not a complete dumpster fire at the moment can pick you up, and you know, you can have a charge to the playoffs.
Did you want to move on to studs and duds of the week?
We might as well get those up. So for me, start of the week, you know, a guy that was traded mid-season from the lowly Miami Dolphins to the lowly Arizona Cardinals. a little bit higher than what the other Dolphins are. The Dolphins should be zero wins right now, but anyway. How does that happen? Anyway, football. he had four touchdowns, 22 rushes, 137 yards, four TDs against the Browns. Like, just no receiving touchdowns, four rushing touchdowns.
That's Mr. Kenyon, like, everybody. I think you missed
Kenyon
his name.
Drake. Yeah, sorry, my bad. Kenyon Drake. Like, just what a crazy game.
That crazy for two reasons. Crazy that the Browns can't get it done, for one.
And there's all the talk around, OBJ. Does he want to be there? He doesn't want to be there. Who's talking for him? I don't know. Like, that team has just made, I've said it before, that team has made Odell Beckham Jr. look like a below average receiver, and he's just not that.
But then on the flip side, and you're right, he's not, and he probably needs to move to another side. But on the flip side, Justin Landry's played super well this year.
That's clearly the number one target. Yeah, Jarvis Landry is clearly the number one target. But if you've got that's the conundrum for defenses. Okay, you try and shut down Jarvis Landry, and then, guess what? We've got Odell Beckham Jr. So that's the thing. There should be a very widespread number of targets, machine gunned to both of those guys.
Yep.
Instead of two receptions, Odell Beckham Jr., just two receptions here. He looked – well, he got, a little bit of the ball this week, just gone. I think he had eight catches. So he sort of looked like – the OBJ that we're sort of accustomed to, but you can't have those kind of games every 6 to 8 weeks. Like, he's got to be getting those numbers all the time.
If you're a defense and you see these four players on a field, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb.
Exactly. You should be getting annihilated.
They should. Yeah, exactly. You should be shitting yourself as a defense, and no one is.
And they lost David Njoku early in the season, and he's a very above average tight end. Lost him early. He had pretty good numbers last year, and he's only a young guy as well. So if you bring in, next year, and you bring in David Njoku as well, man, you've got some options to throw to.
You've got some options to throw to, but as I was sort of saying at the start of the year, I don't think the hype was around the Browns, or the hype's dead around the Browns. I think the hype's dead on Baker Mayfield. I'm not as big as – I never was his massive fan. Yes, he deserved that Heisman Trophy, but I don't know. He looks average at best when he throws.
I've said it before again. He has seriously regressed this year. And whether that's offensive line problems, because it certainly isn't talent problem around them. Is it coaching? Is it scheming? Well, like I said earlier, he's just holding on to the ball too long, and that's part of whether that's scheming or whether that's guys that just simply can't get open, and then he's got to hold on to the ball too long because he's extremely inefficient.
Yeah, he is. He's very inefficient, and you're right. It could be a multitude of things, or it could just be that he's regressed a lot, like you said. So. My start of the week, there was a few standouts. Tony Pollard, we mentioned before, 131 yards for 12 carries. Even Joe Mixon, who's always been a good player, he got 25 carries for 136 yards.
He's come into form in the last month. He's been great. Like, at the start of this season, he was pretty poor. But he has come along in leaps and bounds just in this season. Like, this is his second year, but he has been great for a very poor Cincinnati team.
But it's going to go to Jameis Winston just for getting another 458 yards. Yeah, he only got, yes, he got one interception.
Only throwing one interception.
Yeah, one, that's right. That's great for him. But he also, said, he had no Mike Evans. Chris Godwin got injured pretty early in that game. And, he's still got it done. He's got four touchdowns.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable.
I don't know how he's going to fix his. If he can fix his reception, his interception issues, man, he'd be a great quarterback.
24 of them this year. 24 interceptions this year. He's got 30 touchdowns, 24 interceptions, which is six more than the next highest at Phillip Rivers at 18 receptions. Like, it's just like he's got no regard for the ball. He just hurls it. It's For Bruce Arians, who's supposedly the quarterback whisperer, like, he just, Yeah, you're not winning a lot of games with that.
Nah.
24 interceptions. Nah. There's two more games to go. We could get to 30.
With the Bucks, they could be like, they're 7-7. You don't know coming in. They could be on the same level. They could be 12-2 like the Ravens, but because you don't know how Jameis Winston's going to turn up. Is he going to throw no interceptions, or is he going to throw six? It's just ridiculous.
You can't go into games with that unpredictability.
But to throw two games over 450 yards, which is absolutely ridiculous. But
insane.
Just keep those receptions down, buddy. I think did we both before the pod? Did we both sort of agree on the dud of the week? Or
yeah, look, I think so. If we're going to go with the with the unfortunate Oakland Raiders fans, you know the black hole. Like we said earlier, it's a heartbreaker to lose the way that they did, you know, in the final game at the Coliseum there. And, yeah, their second stint as the Oakland Raiders, now that they move on to Vegas next year in a nice brand spanking new stadium that the city of Oakland would not provide for them. So they had to keep playing at the baseball stadium, which I think was a major point of them, you know, of them leaving, that they couldn't get the I don't know if it was the city council or the California state government to sort of help them out in getting some funds so they could have a separate stadium, which, you know, over there is just crazy. You can't be playing baseball and football in the same stadium. You just can't do it.
No, you can't. It's obviously going to be great having another, you know, you've got the NHLs as a Las Vegas team, so it's going to be great having could be two things. It's going to be great having an NFL team in Las Vegas, but it could also be dangerous too.
That's going to be those road trips to Vegas for NFL teams. They're going to be fun.
They're going to have to the executives of all these teams have to make sure they can get all their players
getting them in there is going to be fine. Yeah, but it's going to have to be we're going to fly in like 9 o'clock that morning, and then as soon as we finish the game, we're out of here. Like, we're not staying the night. Do not make
Vegas.
Make accommodation at all.
What I was about to say. Vegas must be like licking their, like any the employees, the strippers. They all must be licking their lips, going, "Oh, this is going to be awesome."
Football players, woohoo!
But yeah, I they shouldn't. It's not Derek Carr's fault. They shouldn't be booing Derek Carr.
It was aimed at Derek Carr. He was going up, you know, he was going up the tunnel. There was a lot of sort of extra boos that were meant for him, which I thought it's a bit rough. Like, if it was last year, yeah, totally, because they were atrocious last year. But this year they had a pretty good, say, 2/3 of the season. You know, that they haven't been great the last few weeks. But, you know, all in all, they haven't had an absolute disaster of a season. You know, they've drastically improved. Both Bay Area teams have drastically improved. Obviously, the 49ers have improved a hell of a lot more. But the Oakland Raiders, they're drastically improved over last year.
Yeah. Because everyone, you know, after the Antonio Brown saga, everybody.
Well, yeah, that's right. Everybody wrote them off from the get-go, and they started the season great.
But, yeah, they did. So hopefully they can keep it going and hopefully make some sort of splash, I guess, in Vegas.
Well, they'll be making a splash in Vegas. Don't worry about that.
They'll be making a splash, but hopefully it's on the good side and not the bad side.
Maybe a flash for cash. That's what's going to be happening. All of those players that go and live there, man, they're going to be broke.
Oh, of course.
You know how long the NFL off season is? Holy moly, they are going to be broke.
Just before we finish, I thought I'd give a shout out to someone that celebrated their 55th birthday, Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin. celebrating the only way he knows how. If you go into his Twitter feed, just basically, you know, thanked himself and then just grabbed two beers and smashed it all over himself. So
that's right. Everybody should do the same to celebrate Austin's birthday.
It was
five. God damn it, that makes me feel old.
Yeah, it does make us feel old. But
Terrible. Yeah. Oh man, 55
ever. One of the best ever.
You could have just said happy birthday. Like, don't give his age. Like, that just.
Oh, you gotta say his age because he doesn't look 55. He doesn't look 55.
No way.
We look in our 30s to 40s, but he doesn't look 55.
He doesn't look 55. Man, so, he must be on that. He must be on that Anthony Davis All of Olay.
You just have to throw that in at every podcast. There.
I love it.
Right at the end, sir. You throw it in right at the end. All right. Well, I'll have to listen to that for that next week. That'll sort of do it, I guess, for this week's NFL podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all those socials out there, Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Get on it, people.
Have a good NFL week, everyone. Look out for those big divisional games. So that'll
Saturday
be, yeah,
games
that'll be
a this lot. Week, everybody. Don't forget those Saturday games, which will be Sunday morning for us. So, yeah, three big games on Saturday. So that should be fun.
And we've most likely everyone's got those periods off. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of games to watch.
Well, yeah, just on that, if we don't sort of have any more content before the 25th of December, have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, have an Oil of Olay Christmas, everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, everybody get some Oil of Olay. Make yourselves look like Stone Cold Steve Austin Young.
That's all I wanted in my little Santa's bag, just like a little Oil of Olay pack.
I sent you a picture of what I'm getting you for Christmas, so, yeah. That's.
I don't want it's not rude, certain, just to finish this off.
Certain,
it's not rude.
A certain finger emoji car freshener. So, yeah, that was I thought that was rather appropriate.
Yeah, sure it is. Okay, well, I'll be bringing something up too. No Devil's Cup for you then.
Oh, no. But that's going to be the exchange for the Devil's Cup.
Oh, yeah, that's
one finger of Devil's Cup.
Have a good week,
Merry
everyone.
Christmas. Enjoy your Devil's Cut, everybody.
See ya.
See ya.